want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
Cindy and I would like to say thank you to all of those who have contributed to this ministry, making this broadcast possible.
The title of this message is The Real Reason We Are Here. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Jesus had 12 guys, 12 of the most unlikely candidates that he pulled together. When you look at the personalities and the characteristics of those disciples, those typically are not the people that you would choose to start a worldwide movement. I mean, he had some fishermen in there. He had a tax collector in there, one of the most hated people in that day. Jesus says, I'll take him, I'll use him, right? You had people in there that were like anti-government, you know, zealots. There was a whole big mess of people in there. And Jesus said, I will take these people, and if they will surrender themselves to me and submit themselves to my teaching, I will cause them to be mountain movers. I will cause them to be world changers. I will cause them to turn the world upside down. And that was actually spoken over them, where they were causing trouble because they were introducing so many people to Jesus. And they said about these disciples, these are the ones who have turned the world upside down. No greater compliment could be spoken. And so we're called to make disciples who make disciples. The passage tells us to make disciples as we go about living life. And understand, it's as we go. It's not like, you know, I have people that will approach me from time to time and they'll say, hey, I think God's called me to ministry, so what do I need to do to be a pastor? And I always say, well, we're all called to ministry. You better make sure he's called you to be a pastor. And don't think that you have to be a pastor to do ministry. Because the word ministry only means serving. That's all it means. That's what the word means. A minister is a servant, right? So you have to ask yourself, how am I serving God right here and right now? And if you're not serving God in the right now, wherever he has you, whatever you're doing, then don't think that you're going to serve him as a pastor or some other fivefold ministry. So what are you doing right now? So I always tell people, forget about the titles, forget about all that. Just be a true Christian. Love Jesus with all your heart. Be his disciple and just obey him when he speaks. So the passage, again, it tells us to make disciples as we go about living life, you know, and we get them to the place of being baptized and we get them where they can get teaching and help them to walk that out. Because how many of you know that when you first start hearing some of the stuff that Jesus told us to do, your flesh is going to oppose that. And you're going to need somebody come alongside of you that helps you with that. And so we need each other. Making disciples is not something that we can do on our own. So God has given us some valuable resources. Now, number one, he's given us his power and authority. This is the thing we have to understand about power and authority. Authority is the right to do something. Power is the ability to do it. So authority, he's authorized you. He's put the badge on you, right? You're authorized, but you also have to have the power. How many of you have ever seen, maybe you saw a video. I've seen a few where, you know, you had a police officer that had to pull somebody over, and the police officer's not a real big guy or whatever, but, you know, the guy that he has to pull over gets out and he's like 6'7" and 300 pounds, right? And the police officer has the authority to pull that man over and to arrest him if need be, but he doesn't necessarily have the power. And so what do? They get on the radio and they call for backup. Part of what we have, part of the power that we have is that I'm not alone. I have the Holy Spirit, but I also have my brothers and sisters in Christ who help me walk this life. And so we have his authority, but we also have his power. Number two, he promises us his presence. And I've said this many times, but I value his presence above almost anything else. His presence makes the difference. His presence. Look, it's in his presence, the Bible says, is the fullness of joy. Why is it the fullness of joy? Because in his presence, all kinds of things happen that cannot be explained. It's in His presence where we've seen so many miracles, so many healings and things that have taken place in this church. You know, we often talk about Brother Ronnie, who was healed after being crippled 24 years. It was His presence. Nobody even laid hands on the brother. He's just sitting right over here, and he's, you know, he's concentrating and focusing on the cross and everything Jesus did for him in that moment. And the presence of God, I mean, it was during prayer time between 8:30 and 9, the presence of God came on him, and he began to shake and shake and shake and begin to cry and cry and cry and couldn't explain it. And that God began a process of healing his body over the week, where he went from being a crippled man who was in pain 24/7, who could hardly hear, who couldn't turn his neck, who couldn't walk up straight, who couldn't walk without at least having a cane to assist him, who could not shake your hand and squeeze it, who could not lift things. He went from someone who couldn't do those things to someone who does all those things. He went from a man who could barely walk across his living room to a man who walks several miles a day. And here's the thing. This is what I want you to understand. Nobody touched him. Nobody laid hands on him. It began to happen. Now, his wife had a word from the Lord about it, but it began to happen in the presence of God. No wonder there's fullness of joy, because in his presence is everything you and I could ever possibly need. This is why we put a premium on understanding and having his presence. So God's presence in the Bible is the promise of his favor and his blessing and our success. Our success is not based on how much money we have or how nice of a facility we have, but on God's power and presence in our lives. Somebody asked me, I was actually in a part of a board of advisors for a bank, for a local bank. And I was serving as a part of the board of advisors. And the very last meeting I had, because my time was up, a lot of the vice presidents and people, like, they were high up in the bank, right? They were all sitting around this table, and it's my last shot. So I began a conversation, and in that conversation began to talk about the power and the presence of God and the healings of God and things that we have seen manifest in this church. And they all sat there spellbound listening. And one of the ladies says, "That was your church that happened that?" Because she had heard about Brother Ronnie, and she lives in another city. She heard about it. She said, "That was at your church?" I said, yeah, that kind of stuff. That was pretty amazing, but we have a lot of amazing things that have happened over the years. And she said, "Oh my goodness," she said, "your church must be absolutely bursting at the seams after something like that happened." I said, "Well, you might think that." I said, "But they need more than just experiencing a miracle. And our church isn't bursting at the seams because people don't necessarily want to hear what has to be said to get them to that place of experiencing those kind of miracles." And so she's like, "Oh, I can't believe." And I was like, "Well, you know, you guys here are all welcome to come next Sunday, all right?" None of them showed up. But the point is this, you want to take advantage of every moment, but not everybody's going to respond. They may even be amazed, but they're not going to respond. And the Word of God is what changes us and turns us into disciples. And the Word of God sometimes says things, speaks things that make us very uncomfortable. Sometimes the Word of God, it gets us out of that place of comfort where we like to stay, because we're Americans, and we like stuff to be easy. But discipleship is not always easy. God will challenge you to go outside of what you think is possible. He will challenge you to put your flesh down and allow the Spirit of God in you to rise up. God will challenge you to live a very unselfish life. That's not natural, because we're all naturally pretty selfish. So discipleship, again, it's not a program. It's a relational process as we live life. This happens as you teach your children, as you work at your job, as you socialize, wherever you might be, at the coffee shop or the grocery store or whatever. God has given each one of us a unique network or a mission field in which to make disciples. You may feel like you have no influence, or that you have, you know, maybe you don't have much of a circle of people that would listen to what you have to say, but you'd be amazed at the influence that you do have. And if you'll be faithful with the influence you do have, God will expand that circle of influence. I've said it many times. Look, I'm just a little redneck country boy. Spent most of my life running around out in the country, barefooted, all down a gravel road. And just, I mean, it's just who we were. We were just simple, simple people, not, you know, nothing real complicated. We had problems just like everybody had problems. And I'm amazed every day of my life that anybody would sit and listen to the things that come out of my mouth, that anybody would care to hear what is being said from this pulpit. I'm amazed by that every day of my life. Why? God takes the little insignificant things of the world and he confounds the wise with them. So don't feel like you're too small or don't have enough influence. Use what you have and use it for his glory and always give him the glory. I'm going to pray over you. I just want to pray for you. Here's my desire, and I know it's the heart of God, that your heart would be filled with his desires. The Bible says that he gives us the desires of our heart. It doesn't mean that he just fulfills them, but I believe if we'll open ourselves up to it, he will put his desires in us. So I just want to pray that for you and that you'll take those desires and do something with it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person here today. They're here, Father, because you drew them by your Spirit. Lord, they're here because they're hungering for something. Lord, we all have purpose. Lord, we want that purpose to be fulfilled in our life, and it's an eternal purpose. Father, I pray for every person here, every person within the sound of my voice, that, Lord, they would not be able to walk out of here and just go live a normal, natural life that doesn't store any treasure in heaven. But, Father, I pray that you would cause each one to be fruitful, to be productive for your kingdom. Lord, that they would find divine purpose and favor in you. Lord, that they would experience your power, the power of the Holy Spirit in their life like never before. I pray, fill us as your word said. Over again, saturate us in the presence of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, may any word that has been planted today go deep into our hearts and may it be rooted down into our hearts. Lord, may it ultimately grow and bear fruit that will bring glory to your name. Father, I thank you once again for them, for their families, Lord, for their loved ones. We just pray that you would use these people, Lord, in a way that they never thought possible, all for your kingdom's sake. And we thank you for that in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, make us disciples who make disciples in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello, this is Pastor Dwayne. I would like to take a few moments to say thank you to those who have written in or called in or just let us know that you've been blessed by this program. Your prayers and encouragement compel us to keep pressing forward. We're also very thankful for those who have sent financial support, both businesses and private individuals. You know who you are. It's truly a joy providing this program for you. We've been amazed at the wide variety of folks who say that they have been impacted by the message brought to you here. From those who are incarcerated to police officers, from business owners to homemakers, from farmers to legislators. We know that we have a mandate from the Lord to preach the no-compromise, straightforward gospel truth, and that is what we've strived to do. If you've been blessed by this radio program in some way, please continue to pray for us, and we would also love to hear from you. You could call or write or even friend us on Facebook. We love to post inspirational thoughts daily. Send your Facebook request to Pastor Dwayne Daigle. And as the Lord lays it on your heart, by all means, your financial gift of any size would be a great blessing. Thank you so much for helping us to take ground for the kingdom of God.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.